Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone.
Hola a todos.
This is Shahaira.
And this is Stephanie. And welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Sorry, I just got sidetracked when I said my name, Shahaira. Like today, someone asked me, how do you pronounce your name? And I said, Shahaira. And then she turns around. She's like, where's the D? And I'm like, I don't know. There is no D. It's Shahaira. Like, and that's not like the first person that thought there's a D in my name.
Shahaira.
Like, do you hear Jod. D when I say Shahaira?
I mean, if you say Jod.
Shahaira?
No, right?
It's Shahaira.
You're saying Shahaira.
Shahaira. Shahaira. I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
It's weird.
Like, yeah.
It's weird.
So I was like, where is the D coming from?
I don't know.
But we have a lot of updates for you all this week. And it's so exciting. And we couldn't wait to have shared it with you guys.
So our little update is that yesterday we went to go pick up our printed shirts for merch. And we're really excited because we were able to print them out, you know, from a small business here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we are super excited. We have the T-shirts and now waiting on just one more item to get here.
And then we'll be all set.
Well, actually, maybe like two items.
Oh, okay. Two items.
Yeah, two items.
But basically, we're getting closer to finally having it all set.
So yeah, we're waiting for two more items. One is on their way. The other one, we're still working on it. So yes, we are getting items and it feels like we're getting closer, but we still need to work on one more to make it more official for that. But that one seems like it won't take too long, right?
Hopefully.
And everything. So yeah. That's our merch update. So we're super excited.
Yeah, we are very excited. But anyways, shifting gears. Is that how you say it? Shifting gears, turning gears?
Shifting gears.
Shifting gears.
Shifting gears.
Okay. Yeah. Shifting gears. Hoy les traemos un nuevo caso. Y el caso de hoy was a requested one. So shout out to the person who shared this case with us.
Y los tardamos un poquito con este caso. So we do apologize for the delay. Sometimes, you know, we're a small team. So, you know, the requests are there and we just try to make it down the list. But sometimes it gets difficult.
Or sometimes the list is just really long.
Yes. So, yeah. And sometimes we're getting a request from TikTok or we're getting a request from Instagram or like just a friend or even text message. Like, so they're coming from a lot of different ways. And so we have to like also organize that. Mm-hmm. So that's why we take a little bit long. But here we are nonetheless. So we don't want to discourage y'all from sending us, you know, case requests because we do get to them. We promise we do.
We do. And actually, like in this very moment, I think that we're reaching the end of the request case. So chances are if you request a case, you'll probably hear it within the next month or so. Porque ya estamos llegando al último.
Yes.
So el caso de hoy tomó lugar en el año 2019. And unfortunately, it's another case of how badly a divorce can end.
Jennifer Farber Doodles went missing while her and her former husband were going through a divorce.
Y antes de empezar, we would like to give you all a heads up because we will be talking about sensitive topics. Queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar sobre temas sensibles.
Y también queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
So let's start a little bit with some background on Jennifer. So Jennifer nació el 27 de septiembre del 1968. Y entonces ella tenía 50 años cuando pasó todo esto en el año 2019. But anyways, she lived in New York City and her parents were Gloria Orettenberg and Hillard Farber. And also, sorry if we butch any of these names. We tried our best. So hopefully we got it.
Y sí, Jennifer venía de una familia con dinero. And we read that both her parents had good careers and good jobs and they were well off. We even read that her maternal aunt and uncle were founders of the brand Liz Claiborne, which is a fashion company. I'm sure maybe some of y'all can recognize the name and the brand. I don't think I've ever been inside of one of these stores.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Or brands. I don't know if they are sold in like different department stores.
Maybe they're super high end.
Yes, I don't know. But it does look similar. It does look familiar.
Y como está diciendo Stephanie, like, her family was definitely well off. Y Jennifer también, ella se graduó de Brown University in the year 1990. Y después, she earned a master's degree in writing from New York University, Tisch School of the Arts.
And that's, like, really impressive. She is a scholar. She is educated. And, you know, she comes from wealthy and educated family. And so she's also following those footsteps. And so now we're going to fast forward to the year 2004. So Jennifer ends up meeting Fotis Doulos, and Fotis is a businessman, un hombre de negocios, and, you know, just this person, this money man, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's like motivated and has a lot going for him. And at that point, he had recently founded a real estate development company, and he was specializing in luxury homes.
And honestly, props to him, because as many of you know, starting your own business is always a goal, but it is a lot of work. Like, I remember the very beginning of this podcast, y todo lo que se toma en cuenta, it's a lot. So props to him. And we aren't too sure if, like, the conversations that Fotis and Jennifer were having were related to this project that he had just started, or, like, de qué se trataban las conversaciones. Pero lo que sabemos es que Jennifer and Fotis empezaron a mandar correos electrónicos back and forth. And, you know, we all know how it goes. Una cosa leads to another. And eventually they ended up getting married.
But right off the bat, there was a red flag, porque Fotis was actually getting divorced from his first wife. Entonces, su divorcio pasó durante el mes de julio del año 2004 y al mes siguiente, en agosto del 2004, ellos dos se casaron.
Just kind of like back to back, if you think
yes,
about it.
Yes, back to back. Like, people can see, like, yes, like a red flag, but people might be like, oh, when you know, you know. But it's still a little, you know, back to back, you know?
I mean, okay, yes. People, when they know, they know. But, like, I don't know. I'm a big believer that, like, you cannot exit one relationship and then jump to another one. Like, you need time.
You need time to,
but yeah, that's just my personal opinion. And so, like, yeah, to me, it felt a bit too soon, especially because it's a marriage. It's not even a relationship. It's a marriage. And things seemed okay entre los dos. Se casaron y tuvieron cinco hijos. They actually had two sets of twins, which is kind of cool. So in total, they had three sons and two daughters.
And as we mentioned before, you know, this family was well off. You know, Jennifer comes from a family of wealth, right? Mm-hmm. And Fotis is a businessman. He has a lot going for himself. Entonces, Jennifer was able to be a stay-at-home mom. But, you know, given her background and things like that, she was still hustling, right? Ella era una escritora for Patch.com, and she had her own blog.
I've always wanted to have my own blog. I feel like she was living my career dream.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's so cool that she was doing that. Yeah, like Steph was saying, like, financially, like, this family was good. Like, they had no financial problems from what it seemed like. Y parecía que ellos dos estaban saliendo adelante. Like, things were going good for them. Until Jennifer empezó a notar que Fotis estaba alejando más y más de ella.
So it seems like she started feeling like Fotis was becoming more and more independent away from her. Parecía que él vivía su propia vida, and it started not to feel like, you know, it was a marriage between the two anymore. Y también ella sospechaba que Fotis was having an affair with his colleague, Michelle Trocones, a native of Venezuela.
And she actually even wrote about this in one of her blog posts. El 12 de marzo del 2012, ella escribió sobre unos problemas que estaban teniendo entre su matrimonio. But she was very vague about it, though. But she wrote, and we quote, "I wish I were a strong person and that confrontation did not scare me and appall me," end quote.
And so she's, like, literally confessing how she is scared to confront Fotis. And honestly, like, yeah, that's something to, like, you know, as someone who's reading her blog, like, might react to it, because this is her husband. She should be able to talk to him about it, you know?
Yeah. Also, I feel like a blog is very, like public. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's like for her to want to share that. It's like, why do you have the need to share something so personal? You know, something so personal, like to people that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't know. I feel like if, I mean, confrontation is hard, but there's like a fine line between confrontation is hard and being scared mm-hmm. to confront your partner. Or like, why are you scared to confront your partner? But at the end of the day, Jennifer no se dejó llevar por el miedo and she took action. El 20 de junio del 2017, ella le pidió el divorcio a Forrest. Y ahí es cuando cambió todo.
So as soon as she filed for divorce, Jennifer moved out of their home and she started renting a house. This place that she was renting out was only 70 miles away from, you know, the family home that she once lived in.
And Jennifer también se llevó a sus hijos con ella. And she knew that this was going to upset Fotis. En los papeles del divorcio, she wrote how she believed that Fotis would be very mad and upset. And she said, and we quote, "I know that filing for divorce and filing this motion will enrage him. I know he will retaliate by trying to harm me in some way." End quote.
That quote is so strong because it's like, it's almost as she like sensed it, you know? And it makes me mad que nadie la tomó en serio, because that's, you know, when we were reading about this case, mm-hmm. like that's really what we found, right? She had no type of protection from this man. Jennifer said how Fotis would threaten her. Y que le decía que he was going to kidnap the kids if she, you know, wouldn't agree with his terms.
That is just so evil. Like, I don't know. I hate hearing how people put kids in between. Like, it's mm-hmm. like, keep it between you two and keep the children out of it and keep the children safe, keep them happy. Mm-hmm. Ellos no tienen la culpa. And it just makes me so mad. I just feel like it was unnecessary for him to embed that fear, but obviously he wanted to embed that fear in her, you know, to have that control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wanted to call the last shots. Fotis hasta llegó al extremo de decirle a Jennifer que él había comprado una nueva pistola. Like, for what?
Yeah, like, it's for what? Si tú compras una pistola, why would you find the need to tell your wife during the divorce process? Like, that is like a comment with intention.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't, no entiendo por qué le dijo ese comentario, right? Es claro que él como que quería meterle miedo a Jennifer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because why else would you like randomly just be like, mm-hmm. oh, una pistola? Like, but Fotis denies all of this and he says that he never threatened Jennifer. Y que, yes, he did buy a gun, but it was for home security, not because he wanted any, you know, like he didn't buy it to use it against Jennifer Pues.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, okay, sure.
One thing for sure, I am glad that, you know, Jennifer filed for divorce and immediately left, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she knew that she couldn't be in that house. So she did remove herself from that situation. But even like, you know, obviously we're telling this, you know, true crime case, but even doing all the right steps, like even that didn't save her.
Eventually, Jennifer requested an emergency order of custody. Por el momento, ella y Fotis had joint custody of their children until the divorce was finalized. Pero Jennifer no se sentía segura. I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't either. With like everything that Fotis has been saying or just the unnecessary comments, like I wouldn't. And so she requested the emergency order of custody, but it was denied.
A year later, in 2018, Jennifer asked once again for an emergency order of custody. Esta vez el juez, you know, like found out que Fotis had broken multiple court orders. Y entonces, en marzo del 2018, Jennifer was granted the sole physical custody of the kids.
And Fotis was allowed to see the kids with supervised visitations and monitor phone calls. And honestly, hearing this gave me some kind of relief, you know, kind of like, oh, thank goodness. Because at least Jennifer has a bit of peace knowing que él no se puede llevar a los niños, how he has been threatening.
Yeah, because it seems like Fotis was a very difficult person to work with, like getting all like the divorce terms settled. As we kept reading more about the case, it seems like the divorce kept getting worse and worse. Like it never got easy. And then we also read that después de la muerte del papá de Jennifer, la mamá de Jennifer, Gloria, sued Fotis for all his unpaid loans.
And just to be clear, like with these loans, we're not talking about $1,000 or $2,000. Like Fotis le debía $1.7 million.
That is so much money.
That is, I don't even know, like what, I want to touch $1.7 million.
Yes.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, unpaid loans, you like don't imagine that much money.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, con más razón, like she is suing him. There's a lot of money on the line. And, you know, like now, you know, there's a divorce. So maybe like wants her money back, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would want my money back.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So at this point, you know, with the divorce process, you know, family being involved, it seems like the relationship, you know, hit rock bottom and things got worse, you know, after all this. Even out of nowhere, Jennifer disappears. She was last seen around 8 a.m. el 24 de mayo del año 2019, después de que ella dejó a los niños en la escuela.
And she was seen on a neighbor's security camera returning home at around 8:05 a.m. But the strange thing was that Jennifer had two doctor's appointments in which she did not show up, like to none of them. Tenía una cita a las 11 de la mañana y la otra a la 1 de la tarde in New York City. But again, she was a no-show for both.
By the time it hit 7 p.m., two of her friends, including the family nanny, reported her missing. Apparently, ellos trataron de comunicarse con Jennifer, pero ella no estaba contestando and they had no idea where she was.
Y cuando no apareció a recoger a sus niños, like, they all knew that something had happened. Like, algo le había pasado because this was very unlike her. She would never not show up, and especially without a phone call.
Una amiga también notó que Jennifer le había dicho que she was going to use her Range Rover to head to the doctor's appointment. And when her friend stopped by to see if Jennifer was home, ella notó que el Range Rover estaba allí. And instead, the other car was the one missing.
And I know it might sound like a bit insignificant to note, like, you know, like if Steph had two cars and she's like, oh, I'm gonna take the Jeep instead of the Honda. But then I get home and the Honda's home. It's like, okay. But, you know, it is something to spark up. And then especially now in these circumstances, que ya no sabe dónde está su amiga. Like, could this make a difference?
And knowing that your friend is going through so much, like, I think any little detail
is
noticeable. Yeah.
Yeah. The small changes like this start to draw the bigger picture, and it definitely did in this case.
Everything counts in a disappearance case for sure. So, you know, at this point, Jennifer was reported missing y la investigación empezó. And right off the bat, it was clear que algo malo había pasado.
Cuando los investigadores entran a la casa, encuentran sangre splattered all over the floor, on the doors, en las paredes, even all the way out to the garage. And they even found blood on the exterior of the Range Rover.
So at this point, we can infer that someone is hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that this person made it all the way to the garage and maybe inside that other car that is missing.
Pero ahora la pregunta es, ¿de quién era toda esta sangre? And so investigators tomaron una prueba de ADN que reveló que la sangre era una mezcla de Jennifer's blood and Fotis's blood. Shocker.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but investigators found the neighbor's security camera video en donde se ve que la Suburban, which was the other car, va saliendo de la casa como a las 10:25 de la mañana. And, you know, guess who's driving it?
And I'm sure y'all listening know exactly who it was. Like, I'm sure y'all all guessed Fotis. And you're right. Fotis was seen driving the truck out of the garage.
And so that is when it becomes clear que él fue el responsable por la desaparición de Jennifer. Well, you know, at least in my eyes, that's what it seems like because, you know, blood, he's the one driving, and obviously, like, the history of the divorce, like, you know, I think for me, like, he needs to be questioned, right? Because, like, yes, it's just so much, why is he at Jennifer's house? You know, they're going through a divorce, so why is he there? Second of all, he is there the day that she is missing.
At least to me, he has guilty written all over him. And aside from that video of him driving the Suburban, los investigadores también encontraron un video que demuestra a Fotis junto con Michelle. And just, you know, to refresh our mind, Michelle was the lady that Jennifer thought he was having an affair with. And so these videos show how Fotis and Michelle were dumping garbage bags in about 30 different bins all throughout Hartford. And Hartford was like an hour away from where Fotis and Jennifer live, like from her house, which Fotis was seen leaving.
So just to bring up again, Jennifer was suspicious that Fotis was having an affair with Michelle. And at this point, you know, it is true. Fotis la estaba engañando con Michelle. Y parece que, you know, she was involved with this whole situation because, you know, she's helping him out, dumping things.
es su cómplice. Y los investigadores looked through the trash bags y encontraron ropa con sangre y también encontraron a bunch of cleaning supplies. So, I mean, if we start to add up, you know, like, I feel like we don't have to be investigators to kind of know, like, bloody clothes, cleaning supplies. It's kind of clear why they had that and what had happened.
Los investigadores obviously are finding, you know, very suspicious things. And Fotis is walking around dumping things. And he is going through a divorce with a woman that is missing. Mm-hmm. So things are not looking good for him. And investigators are definitely interested in him. Entonces, ellos creen que Fotis biked over to Jennifer's house y que allí esperó hasta que Jennifer regresó from dropping off the kids.
And the reason why they believe that he biked was like when they didn't see another vehicle around, and also they found some tire marks coming in through the back. So that's where the biking comes from. But then they believe that once Jennifer arrived to the house, que Fotis la atacó, and they believe that that's where he killed her. And then they believe that Fotis se estaba deshaciendo del cuerpo when he was throwing away all those trash bags.
But despite all of this, nunca encontraron el cuerpo de Jennifer. They have done, you know, so many searches, both with like helicopters and canines, pero nunca encontraron nada.
And it's interesting because we've seen in the past how sometimes not having a body, like it's hard to find someone guilty because we don't have the body. Mm-hmm. Pero thankfully, that was not the case for this one. I mean, it sucks, yeah, that we're assuming that Jennifer has passed away. Mm-hmm. And Fotis and Michelle, y hasta el abogado de Fotis, Douglas Mawini, fueron arrestados.
And I know, like, y'all are like, wait, you know, Fotis's attorney was arrested. Why?
In the picture.
But, like, how, you know? So apparently, Douglas, el abogado, se estaba divorciando de su esposa, who accused him of spousal rape. And she told authorities how Douglas and Fotis were working together to kill Jennifer.
Which is crazy, right? Like, they found this information out by something totally irrelevant.
I know.
To the case. And so on June 1st, 2019, Fotis and Michelle fueron arrestados en un hotel in Avon, Connecticut. And they were charged with tampering with evidence and hindering prosecution. But however, they were let out on bail, which sucks.
Y el 7 de enero del 2020, Fotis fue detenido en su casa. And he was charged with capital murder, kidnapping in relation to Jennifer's disappearance.
Pero al siguiente día, his bond again was set at $6 million. And of course, we know his background. He's well off. He paid it and was released the following day.
And while he was out, Fotis made the decision to take his own life. And he did this by poisoning himself.
It's really sad to hear about what happened to Jennifer was horrible. And then the person who seemed to be responsible for it just is no longer here and can no longer tell us what really happened. Or, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. both of them are gone now. And it just sucks. And I just think about how their children were left without their parents.
Mm-hmm. It's truly heartbreaking. But, you know, as we read a little bit more, we were relieved to hear that all five kids were living with their grandmother, la mamá de Jennifer. She was granted custody of the kids. So, you know, at least los niños pueden estar con su abuelita.
Mm-hmm. They're in a safe, caring environment. And it's honestly always a big relief for us to hear that the kids are settled. Y aunque su mamá no ha regresado, at least they have their grandmother.
Mm-hmm. And so now we are in the year 2023 y el cuerpo de Jennifer has never been found. Fotis is no longer alive to tell authorities where her body is. And Michelle keeps denying having any part to do with this whole situation. In fact, she says that she should have never trusted Fotis.
And as for Douglas, the attorney, it was a bit unclear. We're not too sure if he's out on bail or if he is serving his time.
And so, yeah, that is all that we have for this case. This is, you know, very tragic case of a divorce gone bad.
Mm-hmm. And just also like someone doing things to be vengeful, right? Like revenge or I don't know.
I don't know because, it's just difficult because I don't know. Como, you know, el dicho dice, cada cabeza es un mundo, right?
Yeah.
Because a divorce could have just happened, you know, y ya los dos por sus lados and, you know. But anyways, that is like more like opinion based, right?
Yeah.
So that is all that we have for this case. Jennifer is still missing. Her body has never been found. So we ask y'all to share this post that we'll have on our social media because, you know, she does have 5 children that, you know, would love to have closure and answers. Yeah.
So, yeah, so a huge shout out to the person who shared this case with us. Thank you so much. We always appreciate you guys just letting us know about these cases. Porque muchos de estos casos that do get requested, we honestly have never heard about. So, yeah, thank you so much for sharing. And again, thank you all so much for coming and listening to this week's case. Como dijo Stephanie, please share her picture, share her story, and we will see you all next week.